Good morning. Good to see each one of you here on this beautiful, miraculous day that the Lord has made. And we hope that you come for none other than to worship the Lord. I know there's beans and taters and chicken and everything else in the back, but that'll wait. But we hope that y'all have come with a prayer on your heart and a song on your lips. And speaking of that, grab you a yellow book if you can find one there. And help us in the song service number 251. We'll start with this number, 251. Are sounding awesome. If I didn't say it in the beginning, I'll say it now. I appreciate each visitor that's here. Thank you for coming and being part of our service. Turn over a couple pages to number 254. 254. Let me touch him.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. Everybody just kept coming in. I thought we was going to have a little bit less of a crowd, but I guess there's something about the smell of food that draws Baptist people in. Welcome to our homecoming here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We are thankful to have each and every one here. As Brother Sam said, we're glad to have all of our visitors with us today. I hope and pray that everyone today may get a good blessing. I hope you get the blessing of enjoying the good food and the good fellowship later. But the best food that there is to be blessed by God in spirit in the service for Him. So we want to strive for that today. I hope and pray that each and every one of us today will try our best to try to get in touch with God as we try to pray in this service, and that you'll pray that the Lord will just bless each and every one that's with us today. But I'm going to ask you to just to kind of look to your right and to your left. Do that. Now pray for that person on your right and on your left. That's not too hard of a thing to ask, is it? If you pray for the one on your right or your left, that's not a hard thing to do. Now, I've got Brother Sam over here, but I'm going to try to pray for all of you. And let's pray that the Lord will bless us today in a very good way spiritually. My hope and prayer is today that we'll see somebody get saved. That's the best blessing of all. I got to hear about another 18-year-old boy getting saved this week. That's a great blessing, isn't it? Whenever you hear of somebody being saved, maybe I shouldn't say it this way, but these days when the teenagers start getting up in age, it seems like it's hard for them to get saved. It's not hard for God, but it's hard for them to turn it over to the Lord. So when I hear of this, it just makes my heart glad. Every once in a while, I get to hear about somebody even older getting saved. But I tell you what, I'm glad to hear of the youngest one getting saved too. Well, I need to quit and go on. It's good to see each and every one here today. We always try to do a children's church, have our kids come up and do just a little bit of time with them. So if you're visiting with us today and you're one of the children, you can come up to be with us. We'll meet you right over here, if you will. All the young ones, come on up. Come right on up. Hi, Gwen. Good morning, girls. Thank y'all for coming. Good morning, good morning. It's good to see all of these coming. Bless your hearts. Y'all don't want to come too? I get to pick on them because they call me Papa too. They are good friends with my girls. I'll scoot over. That's fine. They're good friends with my daughters, and I'm glad to see Mama and them with us today. So, okay, kids. Good to see y'all today. Good. It's been a while since we've had this good number, and I'm thankful for you being up here. Okay. I've been trying to talk about some of the young people in the Bible. Okay, last time I done one of these, I talked about David, didn't I? And him being probably somebody not much older than y'all are. Okay, let's find somebody else in the Bible that's kind of young like y'all. Maybe you don't think about him being that young, but in the book of Daniel, there's four young men that were carried into captivity. Notice they were young. How old do you think? Well, let me ask this question. Who can tell me who those four young men were? Anybody can tell me? I knew better. I knew y'all would all be quiet. You know the answer. It's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and a big billy goat. Is that his name? I got a no from back here. Where's the rest of you? His name was Abednego. But they were four young men that they were carried off by King Nebuchadnezzar to be servants to him. Not in the usual term of servants, that they were going to bring him his lunch or his breakfast or something like that. They were wise-hearted. They had wise minds. And they wanted to use them for their wisdom. Well, there came a time when they were brought into the place, and the king said, I want them to be nourished with my food. He said, I want them to drink my wine and eat my food. Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not supposed to eat these things. Do you think you can make that kind of a stand to say, I'm not supposed to partake of that thing? That maybe somebody said, you've got to do this? In your day, some of you are going to be approached by somebody with, maybe it's just a little cigarette. Maybe it's just a little glass of something. Our kids were trick-or-treating the other night, and one of the houses that they went to was hollering out, the grown-ups can come. We've got something for you, too. See, it's important for you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, they were young, real young, really. But they made a stand for God, and they said, we'll not take of it. We know something that's better, and they called it pulp, and see if we don't look better. Well, you know what it did? Just exactly what they said it would be. Their bodies were leaner. Their color was better. They looked better in all ways. So what did their keeper do? He put the whole bunch on it. Why? Because four men stood up and said, we won't drink that stuff. We won't eat that stuff that's bad for us. They stood up for God and what they had been taught. Now, someday you may be brought up before somebody and says, are you a child of God? Now, Brother Stewart kind of asked this same question today in a different way, but I'm going to ask you. If somebody asked you, was you saved, and you were saved, could you say, yes, I am? Or would you be a little bit ashamed of the Lord? I want you to think about that. Not all of you are saved, but there'll come a day, and I hope real soon, that every one of you will know what it's like to be saved. And you can tell everybody about it. And not only tell everybody about it, but you'll join the Lord's church and be baptized. You'll follow the Lord in baptism too. See, that's what the Lord wants you to do. And you need to do as He would have you to. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Abednego and Daniel. I knew I was leaving out somebody. All right, I'm done. Let you go. Thank y'all. Thank you for coming, Luke. Good to see everybody again. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Lord, help. Let's do remember Brother Tim's wife's friend. Let's pray that she'll find the Lord, and let's just pray for Brother Tim's wife also in this. I do need to say good to see Brother Sonny and Miss Linda back with us today. Their health's not been well. Them, Brother Slick, Miss Barbara. There's different ones. It's not been well lately. We're glad you're back with us today. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart. Lord help. Pray for this family that just lost a child. Somebody else. Let us all go to the Lord in prayer. There was a lot of prayer requests made in our Sunday school. There was praise reports that was made. We need to pray. Thank God for those things. If you've had something that you've been blessed with today and this week, thank God for it. Thank God for it today. We're going to call them. Go ahead, Brother James. Thank you, Brother James. Let's do remember his son and his grandchildren that they'll get into church, but those grandkids need to get saved. And the best way they can do it is getting into the house of the Lord, and I pray they'll come here where they can hear the truth. Somebody else have something on your heart. Go ahead, Michaela. Yeah. Let's do remember this in our prayers. Let's pray that he'll get saved, and well, he'll come to realize there is a God, first of all, and then he'll start seeking out God. Somebody else. Appreciate everybody being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today. Let's ask that God would come and be in our midst today. As I said, look to your right, look to your left. Pray for that person. You may not know their needs. You may not know what they have on their mind today, but you pray for them. God knows. So while we go to the Lord in prayer, I always say, I'm calling on one, but everybody pray. Brother Frame, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you. Thank you, congregation. Continue our song service. We'll sing one that's got some parts, and we'll need some alto in the chorus. Number 220, I'll meet you in the morning.
It's good that we have this year today. I'm thankful that we are able to be in the house of the Lord today. And I hope that you will be blessed in this service today. Good to have all of our visitors with us today. As I said, it's homecoming day. We're going to have lunch and fellowship after the service today. And if you did not bring anything, do not worry about it. There'll be plenty of food back there. And you just join in and help us eat everything so we don't have so many leftovers. So we'll just ask you once that we do dismiss, give the ladies time to make sure everything is prepared and ready before you start through the line is what I'll ask you to do. It is good to see everyone here today. I'll make one quick announcement. Next week is our business meeting, so we need to keep that in mind. Remember our services on Wednesday night. We have a meal on Wednesday night, a fellowship meal. Come and be with us. We're studying about heaven probably for the next 2 weeks. Come and join us for our Bible study is what I would ask you to do next week, and then our services next week also. It's good to see each and every one out today. I hope you'll be prayerful. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further? We're going to take our reading lesson. We're going to skip around some out of the 11th chapter of John. The 11th chapter of John is where I'm going to take my thought from, I guess is what we'll say, but this is a familiar subject out of the 11th chapter of John. This is the time, and to title it, I guess you might say, this is where Lazarus had died, and was the Lord rose him from the dead. Now, let me back up and let's get a little bit of the story here, and we'll bring out a couple of different verses for you in this today. All of a sudden got that little tickle. Excuse me. And maybe you got it. Lazarus was a good friend of our Lord. His sisters, Mary and Martha, Mary was the one that anointed Jesus right before his death, is what the scripture tells us. But Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, and they sent word to Jesus to come. Now, their idea was that he might come and heal Lazarus before he died. Scripture tells us that Jesus tarried 2 days once he got the word. Now, the words of our Lord was, after that he'd heard that Lazarus was sick, you'll find in the 4th verse, and Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, the story said he waited 2 days, and then he said, we'll go into Judea, where Lazarus was. Now, there were some problems about him going there because the Pharisees and the priests had been wanting to stone Jesus, so it really wasn't in his best interest to go back to Judea. But Jesus said, we need to go. And then Jesus makes the statement here. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now, usually if we say somebody's asleep that's been sick, we have two different opinions about it. Well, they're either so sick that they're just sleeping all the time. And what the disciples said was, if he sleepeth, he's doing better, isn't he? He's resting is what he did. But then Jesus said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. Now, back up to the verse I read a while ago in the 4th verse. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but now Lazarus is dead. Now, a lot of people would say, well, did the Lord tell a lie? Did the Lord not know? Actually, he knew a lot. He knew exactly what he was fixing to do. Now, everybody else, his disciples that was with him, they really didn't know. Mary and Martha didn't know what was fixing to come about. I don't even think Lazarus knew what was going to happen. I heard a song this week by Mark Bishop, and it was about Lazarus, what he did, what he might have thought when that he had died and he was in heaven and had to come back. Never thought of it in that way. It was an interesting song to listen to. I can't say I can back it up with scriptures, definitely not. But you have to wonder what was on Lazarus' minds about that. Now, that's a side note. Let's get back to the main part of this message. Jesus, when he got to where Lazarus lived in Bethany, of course, is Jesus well. Now, I've made this statement before here, and I'll make it again. A lot of people says Jesus wept because he loved his friend. That's what the Bible said, that the people said. I think Jesus was brokenhearted because even his disciples didn't think he could do something about it. They really wasn't believing wholeheartedly that Jesus was going to do a great miracle. Remember the first statement that he said, "This is for the glory of God that I'm doing these things." This is what he's going to do. Now, Jesus, he tells them, he said, let's go to where he's buried. He said, show me where he's buried. And they say it was a cave, had a rock rolled over the mouth of it. The Bible says that Jesus told them to roll the stone away. Familiar, isn't it, when it comes to his resurrection, isn't it? The disciples didn't have to do it. No man had to do it. The angel of the Lord did Jesus's stone, didn't he? It wasn't that Jesus could get out of the grave, but it was that everybody could witness that the grave was empty. That was for the glory of God. When Jesus stood there, the stone was rolled away. Jesus starts talking to God, and he said, Lord, I thank you that you hear me. He said, I didn't say it for my benefit, but I said it for their benefit that they might believe. You'll find those not exact quotes in 41 and 42. But then Jesus makes the statement. Call this a statement. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave bound hand and foot. I've always wondered how he got out if he's tied up like that. Maybe they didn't tie his legs together. I don't know. But I've thought about that a lot, different times. And I've thought about Lazarus in many ways here that day. He woke up in a grave, and now he was alive forevermore. All of this was done for the glory of God. What are we doing today for the glory of God today? I want to ask you that question today. I want you to think about Jesus in his lifetime, some of the great things that he did. This was probably the greatest miracle as far as human eyes saw while he was here on his earth. You want to know what I think was his greatest miracle that he did? The day he saved my soul. Whew, that's the best miracle he ever did. Because he took a dirty, filthy sinner like me and he cleaned me up inside. This old body, it still has to take a bath pretty regular. I get hot, I get sweaty, I get dirty, and I have to be cleaned up. But that soul is cleaned up forevermore. That's what Jesus did for me. I want you to think about some of the great miracles that he did. and what he did them for. It was for the glory of God that he did these things. If you back up to the 9th chapter of the book of John, you'll find that when Jesus and his disciples were going through a particular area, they came upon a man there in Jerusalem that had been blind from birth, is what the scripture said. And they asked him the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, what Jesus went on to say, neither hath this man, this is verse 3, has sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What does it mean to be manifest? It means to reveal. It means to be made plain in the eyes of people. You see, it was necessary that the world should have Jesus made manifest to them. If he had just been going along like we do in our daily lives, you know, going to work, going home, eating a meal, then going to bed, they would have looked at him just like any other man. But Jesus stood out and before all the people in the world by the miracles that he did. There was an occasion when that Jesus made the statement to them that he said, if you had paid attention, I'm putting this in paraphrase here, he said, if you'd paid attention to what I was doing, you would have known that these works were of God. When Jesus came to this man, he said, this man was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest. God put him there for this specific reason, that Jesus could spit on the ground, take the clay, anoint his eyes, and just tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I want you to think about that. That's something simple today, isn't it? That Jesus asked him to do. He didn't have to take the clay and put it on his eyes. He didn't have to do anything else other than obey God when he said, go wash. And what he did, he went to the pool of Siloam, he washed his eyes, and if you'll go down just a few more verses, you'll see that he came seeing. Now, I want to ask you something. Was that man saved? According to what we find in the scriptures later on, this man wasn't even saved. Because when Jesus found him later, they done cast him out of the synagogue because he said, that man Jesus calls me to see. They wanted him to deny Jesus had done it. They wanted him to deny it, so they cast him out of the synagogue. But Jesus finding him, and he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is the Lord that I might believe on him? The world today is doing the very same thing. They're saying, who is the Lord today? Are they looking to the true God? Are they looking to Jesus? Are they looking to other things in this world? I want to make him manifest to you today. I want to glorify him in this day. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, that the glory of the Lord would be seen. My friends, today it is important for us today to try our very best to lift up Jesus before all the world. The scripture said, Jesus doing the speaking, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, what he was speaking about was when that he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. But I do believe today that if God's people will lift up Jesus before this sinful, dying world, they can believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to see the glory of the Lord today, to know that he is God. You see, Jesus on one occasion, you'll find this in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. When Jesus in that day He taketh Peter, James, and John. They went up into a mountain apart. Now, Peter, James, and John were privileged disciples. I believe they was probably, in his eyes, they were probably the soundest. They were the most faithful that they was. Now, you think about Peter being the most faithful. You know what he did. You know what the rest of the disciples did. But right now, the Lord picked them for a reason. I want you to understand something today. You, as a saved person today, God has picked you for a reason. Not just because that he saved your soul, but he has picked you for a reason that you may glorify the Lord. You see, Jesus in that day, they went up into a mountain apart is what it calls it. And they went up into that mountain, and there Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. They said that the brightness of it, they couldn't even look upon him, basically is what it's telling. And there appeared with him Moses and Elijah talking with him in that day. Now, the natural thing for us to do, if we see something that is miraculous in our eyes, well, first thing is we want to erect a stone for it. That was what they wanted to do. They wanted to put up a tabernacle for it. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. But then the voice of God came out. The voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Today, are you listening for the Lord that you may glorify him? His Holy Spirit is wanting to lead you and guide you in his ways. He's wanting you to follow him and glorify his name. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, I've used this a little bit at different times over the last few weeks. In the 17th chapter of John, this is the prayer that Jesus was praying before that he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you know he prayed before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? That's usually the one we talk about, is when he got down there and he said, "Lord, take this cup from me." But now he's talking to the Lord on behalf of that little church that he was with right there. You know what that little church is? You're an extension. I should say you are an extension of that little church today. In other words, when he was praying for them, he was praying for you, Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. He was praying for you. But during this prayer, listen to what he says here in the sixth verse. In the sixth verse, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of this world." Who's he talking about? Those disciples that were following him. Those disciples that were there in the upper room that day. He was talking about them. He said, "I've showed you, God, to them." I'm asking you a question today. Have you showed God to somebody today? Brother Stewart said it this morning. A lot of times we think we've done our good, the best. I'm not saying this is exactly right. But he said in our Sunday school class, most time we think if we come and spend an hour in church, well, we've done our best. You think that'll be best in God's eyes? That was what his message was about this morning in our Sunday school class. Jesus said, "I have manifest. I've showed them you, Lord." He told them one time. He said, I believe it was Thomas that asked the question. He said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "If you've saw me, you saw the Father." Now, did you not realize today that you are children of God? You call God your heavenly Father, right? If they see you Do they see God in you? This is all about glorifying the Lord today. In what way did he say, I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. What he's telling them, you're of God. They were yours first, and you put them in my care. Today, you are in God's care. That ought to be something that we as God's people should praise him for, that we should glorify him so ever much more today. In this thought and in this message today, I want us to go to the book of Revelation. And we're talking about glory, glorifying God. I want you to think about a verse. And Brother Sam, I'm going to be closing this out rather quickly here today. I've got three verses in the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. If we do not glorify him here on this earth today, either by our action, by our words, or by our presence in God's house, this is what we should do. But in heaven, I want you to see the way that they are glorified him. When Jesus went down to the to Lazarus' tomb, he'd already said, this is for the glory of God that we're doing these things. What he says in the 11th verse of the fourth chapter, this was when that they looked at the things that were there, and they said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, God made all of this. I remember the scripture where that when, I believe it's in the book of Luke, when Jesus was making what they call the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, the scripture said that he was riding upon a donkey down into the city. And what it said when he was going in there, the priest and the scribes and Pharisees, they came to him and they said, you tell them to be quiet, not to be shouting Hosanna. And he said, if they do not shout and praise my name, the rocks would cry out. Sounds like something that we can hardly imagine, isn't it? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And he took it back to the beginning. For thou hast created all things. Now, if you draw over into the next verse, and next chapter, I should say, it talks about an angel of the Lord, or one of the elders, having a book in his hand. And it said there was no one found that could open that book. And what it said about it was that I wept, John said. I wept. And then one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And then in the 12th verse, I want to go over there. I know I've jumped you around a lot today. It says, saying, they all started to praise God, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard, I say, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So many times in our lives, we come into our churches and we honor the Lord with our presence. Sometimes we glorify the Lord in his presence. Notice I said, in his presence. He will have his glory one way or the other. And in heaven, we will glorify him. Brother Sam, while we stand and sing, when we sang the songs earlier, we say they're songs of praise. As we sing about these sing these songs, let's glorify the Lord in them also. We may not sing the best in the world. If you listen to me sing, I'm not the best singer in the world. But if I lift up my voice in praise of God, it's a sweet sound unto him. If we are the best singer in the world, it is a sweet sound unto him. But what is the most important part for us today is out of abundance of our hearts, we lift up the name of the Lord today. While we stand and sing, let us lift up the name of the Lord.
194, bottom of the page, 194, I must tell Jesus.